Welcome back to another Hosers panel. I'm your co-host, Taylor. Joining me over the internet, we have my co-hosts, Ty and Mike. How we doing, boys?
Doing great. Thanks for asking, Tay. Happy to be back. Best time of the week for me. Get some more hockey in. Kind of one of the slower weeks for us, but happy to get back into it. How about you, Mike?
Yeah, I'm super pumped to be back. It's always great talking to you guys, and super happy about the reception of this podcast. And yeah, I'm looking forward to keep it going. I'm excited to talk today.
Right on. What do we got on the docket today?
I think we're going to do a quick WJC's wrap up, go into some NHL notes this week, and then we'll kick into a bit of the about the Hosers here. We're going to, you know, dive into some of our favorite hockey stories, some things that we've lived, and you know, talk about that. And yeah, yeah. Should be good to kind of discuss all that, and it hopefully some laughs the entire way through.
Right on. Yeah, get going before the hockey season starts. I guess in a few days here, eh?
Yeah, we're 2 days away. I'm so super boys. Happy.
Yeah,
gonna be great.
Gonna be a gong show. Gonna be coming full blast so fast as soon as the season starts.
Yeah. Every day is jam packed of hockey. I cannot wait.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to feel like we're kind of like when the playoffs starts, like, you know, like there's almost hockey every day for like two or three games.
Yeah. There's like, yeah, two or three
good
games
on the good ones. Yeah.
So yeah, totally get to sit down and crack up a couple bevvies and watch
the
games.
Just get off work and you're night set. You're just there. Yeah. Perfect for quarantine days.
It's true.
Yeah. We got, I think, a back-to-back-to-back to opening night. So that's
nice.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, yeah. So the World Juniors obviously wrapped up a week ago. We basically recorded through the semifinals. So the only games that were left were the bronze and the gold medal. Finland beat Russia 4-1 in the bronze medal to capture their bronze. And then of course the U.S. beat Canada 2-0 in the gold medal game.
What a game though! Like, what a performance! And you know, I think a lot of us knew. We might have even mentioned that the 5-on-5, they weren't ever really tested. It was an absolute landslide. And man, there was a Zegras interview. It was just beautiful. He talks about how he thinks they haven't been tested 5-on-5, and he thinks that they're gonna get them early, and they're gonna catch them flat footed and on their heels a bit. And I watched the interview right after I watched the game, and it was scary how accurate it was. But yeah, they totally deflated them. And props to US. I gotta admit, they played a great game.
Definitely. It was like listening to the interview before the game. I was like, fuck, this guy's so cocky. Like, there's no way. Like, Team Canada, like one of the best Canadian teams in like who knows how long, like they're going to come out of the gates and really bring it to them. And they did. Like, the first, like, I would say 10 minutes of the game, Canada like had the control of the game, had the flow going. And then something happened. U.S. had like a fairly long shift in the offensive zone, scored their first goal, and then Canada was toast after that. So
the pressure was insane.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it was like exactly that. Like, Canada was never really tested at all. They faced Russia and they stomped them in the semis, and other than that, they played Finland once and stomped them. Like, they weren't really, they never, I think it would have been good for them as if they lost to Finland in the round robin.
Yeah.
Like, they needed something. And then, yeah, the U.S. just dominated. They flooded the offensive zone. They never let Canada have any time with the puck. And it just, it just suffocated them. Like, it was a really well-played game. And, just through and through, a great 60-minute performance by the U.S. And I'm the only one that picked them in the pod to win. So,
whatever.
Yep. Got to give you that one.
Good call.
I got to say, though.
The score, too.
Almost. Almost.
We're 1-5 now, is that right? Or 1-4 against USA in gold medal games and World Juniors?
Yeah, like Canada hasn't won against the US in the gold medal game since like 95 or something.
97.
97, yeah.
97.
But ridiculous. Like, and you know what? I wouldn't have thought that. So I was surprised to hear that, and history repeats itself. So
totally.
If you're coming up in the ranks, you need that to light a fire in your belly so you can get up there and win the next gold medal for us, because we can't lose it to USA. you know what? I just wanted to quickly touch on a couple of players. Askarov, first guy on the line. Man, I don't know about this guy. He had some really good performances. You know, a lot of hype coming in, and we know he didn't have a lot of defense in front of him. But First guy on the line when they lose the game. First guy on the line watching them. Oh, I never saw any emotion on this guy's face either, almost ever. Just kind of interesting character, and I thought that was something to note because he stood there alone for quite a while right away.
Yeah, that was like a super powerful clip to watch.
It was. Like, it was.
Him standing there watching Finland celebrate while the rest of his team's off the ice, like, wants nothing to do with it. He's like staring them down and looking at, like, okay, this is what I want. Like, I want.
Yeah, it looked like it was feeding something. That's kind of what
totally,
I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah,
kind of looked like he's going to remember that feeling, and it's just some fuel for him. Another guy I want to talk about, of course, I've been talking about a bunch on the pod Colson for Vancouver coming up. Dude, he is so cool. The heart on that guy, the whole time he was trying to rally the guys and get everybody going. You can see they were showing him in between TV timeouts back when they were back, just that he was always trying to pump everyone up. He was talking to the goalie, trying to get things going, and then at the end he was really, really trying. Like, he never stopped the whole time. I really admired his heart. I really did. And we're in to see, of course. And then at the very end, he takes that double minor with, I think, 5 or 6 minutes left. Takes a high sticking. He ran into his own guy, and his stick ran up his buddy's back when he accidentally bumped him, and it clips the guy coming around the other side of him. It was just a gong show accidental double minor. And he didn't look up at the screen, didn't look up once, didn't look up a play once for the, so I love this guy, man. He's got insane passion and he's going to a cool place. So that's, man, I'm really excited for him to come up. Be a while, but
yeah, like we've talked about, Vancouver Canucks fans have, some things coming up that they're, some players coming up that they're pretty excited about. They gotta be at least.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just like touch on this barrel gate thing?
I
for one think it's like ridiculous that it got way blown out of proportion. There's interviews and clips from the middle of December saying what they're doing. I just think that the fact that
Mike, explain it for people who
don't know.
Pretend I don't know.
Basically, coming into the tournament, the US had this motto of one barrel at a time. It's taken back from like people crossing a huge desert. They would put a barrel every, I think it was like 5 miles, whatever the horizon was. So as soon as they got to one barrel, they could see the next one.
Yeah.
Or you could always have one in your sights. So their goal was just take it a barrel at a time. Don't look too far ahead. And every time they won a game, they had the barrel with like that team's logo on it, like a little stick of like piece of paper, like tiny. And they basically conquered that barrel. So they just kept going and going and going. And then obviously got to the gold medal game. They had Hockey Canada barrel, which is just this huge blue barrel with like the tiniest little Hockey Canada logo on it.
But yeah, they just printed off the printer.
Yeah, and then when they were celebrating the win, they had their like their final team photo with the cardboard cutout award, I guess, which was also weird. And then they brought in the barrel to take a photo because they conquered their last barrel. But
yeah,
a lot of people mainly the Canadian media was like, what are they brought out a trash can with Team Canada's logo on it because Canada's garbage and all this stuff, which, I mean, come on.
If you don't know the backstory, for
I
sure,
gotta be honest. Like that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
I guess it's fair. I guess I don't mind having it come up at like the beginning, but like once you get the backstory and then it's not
fabricated
backstory, like you can see, like there's things from, I think it was the 19th of December where they're talking about it. Like once you see that should just fizzle it all out.
Totally.
Yeah, completely. No, you're right. I gotta say, you cleared it up well for me. But until I hear that, I read a couple stories and kind of I didn't want to look too much into it because I saw way too many headlines when I saw the picture on there and I was like, I don't know, and it didn't really look like a real trash can. The whole thing was a little funky, so I just didn't care enough.
Yeah, and also another like thing I want to touch on at the end of that game. You see, like, obviously, heartbreaking loss for Canada. You see all these young Canadian players, like, down on themselves, pretty upset. Jacob Pelletier goes around and gives every single teammate a hug.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like, yeah, like, you can tell he has that leadership quality there. Like, that's exactly what teams are looking for. I think he went to the Ducks, right? So they're going to...
Flames.
Flames, woo! Oh, my bad. I get him and Perreault mixed up. They were late first-round picks 2 years in a row.
I think
I might be wrong then.
I kind of, honestly, I've done the same thing. So I've done the same thing.
It might be Pelletier. He's definitely a Flames pick.
Me and Ty had this argument at the bar because he always thought that Dylan Holloway was a flame, and then it was figured out that no. But yeah, we had a big. He was like, "Oh, they're one's a flame. No, they're both flames. No, no,
yeah, like,
no,
one one's a flame. Like, two on there.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyways, just like a great like show of leadership there from him after a pretty heartbreaking loss for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
I have one more quick one. No, this year was a new thing because of COVID protocols. They wanted to expose less people to the players and whatnot, like you should. So they had the players give the medal, the captain medal, team. I want to talk about that a bit because it was really powerful. And at first, I thought it was a great idea. And then Mike pointed out, I don't think it's such a good idea because you got to look at when the loser's got to do it and what it means to play in a gold medal game for these teams like we talked about last pod. So, yeah, I don't know. It made me rethink. And I honestly love that the winning team does it. I don't think you should have to do it if you're the losing team. That honestly looked brutal.
Yeah.
Agreed, yeah.
Yeah, it was tough seeing Bo and Byram just like basically just melting down while having to give his boys the silver medal. Like,
could you imagine? What was it, like 3 years ago, if Elias Anderson, he was the captain of Team Sweden, chucked the silver medal into the
statue. Chucks his in the crowd.
Had to hand it to the rest of his team, or just thrown them all into the crowd.
Just chucks the platter.
Yeah. Well, that team looked like they all got shot as soon as they lost. They all hit the ground like dead end. Yeah. Oh, that was a rough one.
It's gotta be tough.
I understand. I totally understand. But I just mean like, that was an especially rough one. And you're right. Like, you're totally right. But I gotta admit it. At the same time, like a double-edged sword, it looked beautiful for the other team. I thought it added to it, and I hope they keep doing that. But I don't know.
Yeah, it would be awesome as the winner to like instead of just going to like hug some random double IHF guy, like you get to go hug your captain.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Just like an extra celebration.
Face. Totally.
Yeah, totally.
I want to just chuck it over to the NHL now.
Yeah, let's do it.
So first thing we should talk about something that could be a reoccurring thing throughout the entire season. Hopefully not. Hopefully there's not too many bumps in the road, but I believe it was last Thursday or so, the Dallas Stars confirmed that they had 8 positive COVID tests, 6 players and 2 staff, pushing them back to not starting until at least January 19th, and that's basically the earliest day that they could get going. And that would mean, according to Frank Saravelli, TSN, he said that if the Dallas Stars were to reschedule all of their games into the current window, that means they play 56 games in 110 days, which is just under a game every 2 days, which is crazy.
That'd be insane. You have no rest at all. They're not getting any rest regardless this year anyways. And then they go into that and it's just that would be so hard.
The only really thing that saves them is that a lot of these games are like back to back, 2 in the same city.
Yeah, totally.
So there's not a lot. There's definitely less travel this year, so that helps for rest. But man, they also
especially the Eastern Division.
Yeah,
no, less travel for sure.
But I would assume also that their training camp is shut down, so they've got none of that either.
Yeah, true. Missed like the whole. That's a mess. Get ready for the season.
Yeah, like they've been off for who knows how long, whatever, since like September. So they get, 3 days of practice, and then boom, it's all shut down again. Now they got to go into game one after a team that's already played probably 3 games.
Yeah.
Is there a guarantee they all make it for that time? What is that? You said 9 days?
Yeah, 19th is when their schedule can start.
Wow.
And that's the earliest.
Right.
And do we know like what the protocol is if a player tests positive? Like, I guess they would just sit out, or do they test the whole team, or like
private hotel 2 week quarantine?
I think they're testing everybody. Almost every day.
Yeah,
either way.
I think once a day for NHL.
Yeah.
So then they would just sit out if they test positive then.
Yeah, like it's interesting to see in football because they've kind of gone like, oh, this person has COVID, but now like, it seems like as the seasons go along, it's like, oh, this person tested positive, but these people have all been close contact, so they can't play either.
Yeah.
So it looks like the NHL is doing like an active roster plus a taxi squad.
Yeah, right.
So they have like an extra 6 or so guys that are basically ready to be called up in the event of COVID happening. And
with the taxi squad, like, does it... Are they allowed to be called up even if COVID doesn't affect a team? like, are they allowed to rotate into the roster, or are they only allowed to rotate in if, like, a player is unfit to play?
Yeah, I don't know how that'll work, because it's that kind of, like, you don't really want your young guys on the taxi squad then, because yeah, then exactly. They can't play in the AHL, and they can't play in the NHL unless it's, like, COVID or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too sure exactly how all that'll break down.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially, like, the AHL just announced that they are actually going to have a season this year, and I think three teams opted out.
Yeah.
Like, for the most part, like, teams are going, right? Players are going to have a spot to play, and, yeah, you're going to want your, especially your younger guys, playing the most hockey that you can. You don't want them sitting just waiting to be, waiting for somebody to get COVID and then slot into the NHL lineup.
Yeah, and a couple of teams are sharing, like, farm teams, and then there's like seven divisions now.
Yeah,
there's one division with three teams, like a couple with four, a couple with five, and it's like, what? Yeah. I think Canada is the three team division, but still, it's
still, yeah,
interesting. Yeah, it's, hey, at least they're playing.
Yeah, it's true. It's hockey.
And then talking about other minor leagues, it looks like the WHL is set to start a 24 game season.
Let's
so at least
go.
At least they get a little bit of hockey, and
the 2-4. Yeah.
And that'll be hopefully we can get some fans in the stands here, but
yeah, that would be so nice.
That'd be sweet. So how are they gonna do it? Like, they just do like a little 3-game series here and there?
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of how they do it anyways, so
yeah.
I don't know if their schedule will really change too much.
Except, like, obviously the
US
teams wouldn't come up and play the Canadian teams, no. And vice versa.
Right.
But
they have enough down there, eh?
Yeah, they have their own division.
Yeah.
Right.
They might do the exact same as the NHL. Like, there's not that many games, and there's like four divisions, so they might just play their divisions, play each team four or five times.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It limits the travel. It limits like any COVID exposure. Only impacts four teams instead of potentially impacting the entire league schedule.
Yeah, love it. Be nice. Obviously, us being from Victoria, we have a WHL team here. It'd be nice to get to a game live and actually take in some hockey in the rink, not on TV.
I miss live hockey so much. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But Jumbotron, fucking cool beers.
Second best team in the BC division.
$12.
Yeah. Okay.
Go Rockets.
Right. Yeah. Whatever, Mike.
We'll dive into that in a little later in the story section, I think.
Yeah. Good.
Sounds good.
Good.
Next big news. Same day actually as the Stars COVID test. It looks like the Devils announced that Corey Crawford taking an indefinite leave of absence due to personal reasons. And then the next day he just announced his retirement. So it looks like Corey Crawford, after I believe 11 seasons, is hanging him up. And
yeah,
man, what a career in 11 yeah, to fit into definitely. 11 years. That's not much else you can do.
No.
Three cups.
Yeah. No Jude. Individual awards too much, but I mean, I'll take three cups.
Yeah. Jude.
Three cups. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, there was a couple seasons where his glove wasn't really working, but he fixed that and got back. He was really, him and Leonard were the only reasons why Chicago even stayed afloat last year, and now they're both gone.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think, like, the three cups is, as a player, that's what your goal is, right? You don't go into the NHL to win the Hart Trophy or, like, score the most goals. I mean, it would be a bonus for sure, but no, your goal is to go in and win a Stanley Cup or three.
Yeah.
You know what?
He did that, so.
Not to quickly change it away from too fast, because Crawford had an amazing career. And that's right when you got out of Chicago, right? Out of Chicago, yeah. Done. Yeah?
He signed a two-year deal with New Jersey this year, and then obviously didn't want to follow through with it. I think underlying health issues and just time to hang him up, but.
Well, Mike was just talking about how some teams opted out of, was it the AHL, you said?
Yeah.
I was reading an article today on NHL.com saying that was some, like, not all players, everyone knows that not all players are want to keep going. And I thought that was an interesting quote, like, in something I hadn't really thought of. So I was like, that must be a weird dynamic that some players don't really want to be there, or, you know, for whatever reason. I guess not everyone has to do it, but I wonder if we'll see a lot of that throughout the year, is kind of what I'm getting at. I wonder if people will be like, this is too much, or, you know, I
like
tried.
Like a Tuukka situation.
Totally, totally. And you know what? That was my predictions. That's why they were fifth. But no, I was going to say, lean back to Stanley Cups, Jay Bomeister retired today as well, didn't he?
Yeah, basically a couple hours ago. Wow.
1,400 games or something. Crazy.
Crazy numbers.
Crazy number. 88 goals. I don't remember how many assists, but he had one Stanley Cup, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, you did it. You did it, man.
Yeah.
You got cup, and then you did it. Check it off.
The ultimate goal.
Yeah, man. Anyone else retire?
Yeah. But yeah, like, going back to, like, people sitting out, like, we haven't really had anybody sit out. I think it helps that nobody, or that they're not in a bubble, so they don't have to, like, they don't have to basically forego their family time. Because really, when they get back home, it's going to be essentially similar to what the, the way they've done it for the past as many years as they've been in the league. And then, yeah, just in the bubble, it kind of made them all homesick. But I'm just reading a note here from about half an hour ago that the Dallas Stars can resume practice tomorrow after their COVID shutdown.
Oh, that's good.
So at least they can practice a little bit longer. But yeah, games, it looks like, still won't be until the 19th.
Oh, okay. So then they get like 7 days of practice. That's good.
Yeah.
Good for them. They won't be flat-footed coming out of the gate.
Maybe a little less because they haven't played games. But yeah, not as bad as what was expected.
Yeah, that's true. Although, like, they'll be just as fresh as every other team's going to be on the 13th.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
So.
Rusty, cool. Rusty, but fresh.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, biggest signing of the week. Matt Barzal finally ends his quote unquote holdout.
The holdout.
Yeah.
The clickbait is done. Stick a fork in it.
Signs a 3-year deal, $7 million per, obviously with the Islanders. And I think it's just on the Islanders' cap problems or woes or insufficiencies that they couldn't get him done for a longer deal.
Yeah.
Once the 3 years up, he's still going to be an RFA, and he's going to want bank.
Yeah, dude. He's going to, like, especially with, like, the salary cap, it's going to go up in the next few years. Other players are going to start making more money. This year, obviously, we saw, like, certain contracts not be as, you know, grandiose as we maybe thought they were going to be. Like Taylor Hall signed a 1-year deal. So yeah, give him 3 years. He's going to come back and ask for like $14 million, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, with his RFA deal, because with RFAs, for anybody who doesn't know, whatever they make in actual money in their final year, that's what their basically contract has to start at for the following deal. And his last year is $8.6 million. So basically his offer, or his qualifying offer, will be $8.6 million, which essentially means that he's going to be making at least $8.6 million for the next year after that. And if they want to do a long-term deal, you're looking at $8.6 million plus.
Yeah, I'd give him double digits at that point. 3 years from now, who knows where the salary cap's at?
Yeah, it's probably right when it's on its rise again. So
yep.
I could definitely see him in the tens for sure. But like, cool. Yeah, I think we talked about it last week. If Barzal's not on the Islanders playing that defensive system, he's putting up 90-point seasons, and I don't think anybody's really questioning it.
No, I think he deserves the money he's making for sure. He probably deserves more than $7 million a year. But yeah, because it's such a short bridge deal, if you will, then yeah, $7 million it is.
Like we said before, too, we're going to see so many of those shorter deals, even in, like, obviously you want to lock a guy like him down. And to me, that kind of is at a time like now. I saw 3 years, I was like, oh, good for them. 3 years, he gets good money. You know that's bet on yourself, and it's a great bet with Barzal. Like, you already know he's going to do great. So, yeah, I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was good for both sides. He gets his money, and they get him for a decent amount of time.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, shorter deals also. Because of the salary cap, Pierre-Luc Dubois just signed a few days ago, 2 years, $5 million a year, pretty similar. Columbus didn't want to go the 3 year route. They went 2 years, so he got a little bit less, but still quite a good contract for a pretty decent player that looks like doesn't want to stay in Columbus, but that's all right. They'll work it out.
Yeah, at least for the time being, great deal for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah,
like that's not breaking the bank at all for a guy his talent. I think the Ducks and the Rangers are two of the front runners for Dubois, or at least kicking the tires the hardest as of right now.
Could you see Dubois in a Rangers sweater beside Panarin or Lafreniere or like?
Dude, add the size. So nice. Add his size would be so cool for them. Oh.
Yeah. I was thinking, Mike, while you're saying that, I wonder if like the contract was, like the $5 million was signed, to be like a tradable contract. Like, I wonder if like they were thinking like, this guy doesn't want to be here. Obviously they want to get him for the least amount of money possible, but like $5 million is a very tradable contract. So I wonder if, Dubois did like the Jackets a favor by signing for less, because yeah, he's definitely worth more than five. But knowing in 2 years that he's going to make more.
Yeah. Yeah. Just thinking, yeah, there's no point. Nobody's going to take me on an $8 million deal. So why not take five and hope people are intrigued kind of thing. Yeah. I like it.
Totally. Yeah.
Makes sense.
And then big news out of B-Town. Patrice Bergeron, the most deserving captain, finally gets the captaincy. Obviously, Chara left for Washington this offseason, and they had a funny video where they announced Brad Marchand as the captain. And he's like, oh, yeah, thanks, boys. But, you know, we know who the captain is.
And, yeah.
And then Bergeron comes up and does the most Bergeron speech ever. Like, oh, you know, the letter doesn't matter on the jersey. We're just a team here.
Yeah,
everybody's leading by example. We got 10 leaders here. Like, classic, yeah, classic Bergeron.
Not a single smile either.
No him. Smile. he had a mask funny. On. You still could tell there's no smile under there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he was too impressed with the practical joke they tried to play on him. That's for sure.
I wonder who came up with that. Was that Bruce Cassidy or was that Brad Marchand? Because I could see both of them coming up with that.
Yeah, it was probably Marchand going to him saying, hey, let's do this. I want to make it funny.
just a funny note that I read on Twitter with the Hurricanes. I mean, everybody loves them. I think this will make you love them more. Don Waddell, their GM, he says the Hurricanes have a thing where whenever someone forgets to put on their mask, or anything like that, COVID related, they all just scream mask.
No way. That's awesome.
So what I guess, yeah, somebody's just walking in the dressing room. It's just like, mask! And then, you know, I guess they pull it out of their pocket and chuck it on. I don't know. It's it sounds awesome. I just laughed when I read that one.
That's a good one for anybody. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that'd be a great dynamic to play in and be in.
I wonder how that works if you're a Walmart greeter and you kind of input that that trait.
Yeah. Somebody walks by, hey, mask!
I don't know if it'll be met with too much high reception, but
yeah,
hey, worth a shot, you know. Take a couple of knucks to the nose.
Hey, it's just my job, bro. It's just my job. Yeah. He's like, stop it.
Just a quick head fake, like, oh, like, no, yeah. okay, sorry. Could you please?
Funny. Yeah. So this week, we were wanting to like bring it into a little bit more personal stuff into the pod, obviously. We're all big hockey fans and we kind of want to share with you, why that is and like maybe a few stories, about like what made us kind of get into hockey or funny hockey stories along our hockey journey. So, yeah, I think my like story, I played hockey for 13 years. I was a goalie, didn't make it very far. But like played on some competitive teams when I was younger. One specific story that comes to mind for me, we were playing like in the playoffs, which, we had to play literally one other team to make it to like provincials, which
beauty.
So we played a series of like three games, best of three to like see who goes to the provincials. And we're in the third game, both obviously tied 1-1. And it's 2-2 in the third period. And they scored on me. And I was so upset and I was like devastated. And there was probably like 3 minutes left or something. I guess down to the final minute, they pull me. I'm on the bench and like the biggest duster on our team goes down and he scores. And the entire bench like loses it. We like flip out. We're going to overtime, whatever. First overtime goes through, done. Nobody scored. Second overtime goes in and like we scored with 12 minutes and 58 seconds left on the clock. And, like, that's important. Remember that time, 12 minutes, 58 seconds. Anyways, we're going to provincials. We're stoked. We go to provincials. We play the round robins. We did pretty well, made it to the semifinals. Semifinals were tied 0-0 the whole game. Get to overtime, nothing. Get to double overtime. And their team buzzes in our zone forever. It seemed like 5 minutes. And then finally they score the worst goal I've ever let in my life. It like was a trickle under my leg. And it goes in and I'm devastated. Like my whole team's just like deflated. Our season's over. For most of the guys on the team, we were like aging out the next year. So we were done. So it was heartbreaking, blah, blah, blah. Look up at the clock. And there's 12 minutes and 58 seconds left on the clock. Oh. So the exact same time that we scored in double overtime to make it to provincials, we got knocked out at that time. It was brutal, oh, heartbreaking, crusher. Like such a coincidence. But I'll always remember that, and it was so fun.
You know what's funny? I was at that game, the game three to go to provincials.
Yeah, and you were.
Just thinking about like you kind of going through the story. I was like, I'm pretty sure it went to double overtime. And so, yeah. Just making sure that I was right with that was a nice point for me in my head.
Yeah, buddy, right on.
But yeah, crazy game. Also, that was like midget A. So saying that you never got anywhere, you'd played junior B. Shut up.
I guess. Yeah, whatever.
not a biggie. Not a big
fair
deal.
Enough. We talk about NHL players every day, so in comparison, I didn't go very far.
Wow. I mean, okay. In comparison to me, you went to the fucking moon.
Yeah, fair, I guess. Not to the moon, just to junior B, but
wow. I mean, I got there as a stats guy.
Nice. Hey, you're working in the WHL now, so you surpassed me.
Yeah, man. You want to talk about that a little? I don't think everybody knows about that, Mike.
Yeah. So, yeah, same thing with me. I've played hockey my entire life. Stopped a little bit a couple years ago, but played all the way through. Just garbage player. So, you know, didn't go anywhere. I was a good goalie. I was a good goalie until I stopped playing at 12. I'll never
understand that.
I have one bad coach who sucked all the enthusiasm out of me.
Hate hearing that.
But yeah, so after finishing hockey, I've loved math. I've loved stats. So stat I went back pots. To our stat guy pots. Stat guy pots is kind of one of my nicknames. but yeah, I went to our local junior B team. Got in as working stats, basically. Conducted an entire stats department, video department, all by myself, really. And then the next year, I sent that all to the Kelowna Rockets, and they're one of the few teams in the WHL with an actual analytics department. So I sent basically all my work to them, as well as like 13 other WHL teams, just seeing if anybody was interested in what I was doing.
Let's go fishing.
Yeah, you know, just fishing. Just anybody who'd listen, I'm happy with. But yeah, they hired me on for, that was at the end of the season. They hired me for that year's playoff run, as well as a team in the BCHL's playoff run. And that was 3 years ago, I think. So the last three to 4 years I've been working in the Department of Analytics for the Kelowna Rockets. Yeah, it's a blast. It's a cool side job. I've got a trip to Colorado to see my favorite team, the Avs, out of it. So, I mean, even just that's a plus. And, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it sounded right up your alley. It's so wicked, too. You just emailed for that, eh?
Yeah, I made an entire stats department out of Excel. So I just sent them that.
Oh.
And, yeah, it happens to be that the boss is a beauty. And
goddamn right.
Huge Colorado fan. And he's now working for the Avs as of, like, a year ago or maybe a year and a half ago. So yeah, he took me down because we were both huge Avs fans. So me, him,
there
and a buddy,
go,
me and him and a buddy went down to Colorado for a week, and yeah, it was awesome.
Must have been some quality hockey talk then, hey?
Oh, just man, the numbers, the numbers we were running through. That was at the end of the season, 2018-2019, I think it must have been, and yeah, we were like maybe six games away from the season, and we were running through like all the different scenarios, and I mean everybody'd find it boring, but it was awesome.
Not for three stats guys.
Yeah, but
that's awesome. There you go, kids. Go out there and shoot your shot with the WHL teams. You never know. You might get a trip to Colorado out of it.
I mean, it wasn't a free trip, but the tickets were free.
Oh, okay. Well, still.
If you can show your passion, man, holy cow. Yeah, and if you think you know your stuff, that's a prime example. Absolutely shoot your shot. That's beautiful to hear. I could top it. Okay, so listen. You guys think where you got in hockey was nowhere. I never played. Yeah, I probably talked the most on this pod, but I never fucking played a game of ice hockey. I love hockey. Been watching it ever since I was real tiny. I was starting in Ontario and was a Leafs fan in a house full of women that didn't care about hockey as a little guy. Yeah, so I would watch them lose. No one else would watch with me, and I got to admit, I fell off pretty hard. I stopped watching hockey, actually, and then just couldn't be interested. And then I came back out to Vancouver, moved out here to the West Coast, pardon me, and to beautiful Victoria, BC, and met some people that showed me the Flames and showed me Kipper and Iggy and just kind of the fire that they could bring. And if you could see it, you could stop it. It felt like with Kipper and the heart Iggy played with and the 30 goal seasons he seemed to always have. And it was just fun. I always loved the color red. Everything just fell together, you know. So I loved the Flames. And then the biggest thing was didn't play hockey, and I lived kind of out in the boonies, out in the Highlands, kind of like just outside of Victoria. Couldn't get around if you didn't have a car out here. There's no buses or nothing. I'm a bit out there. So I spent a lot of my time, the one-way school bus home, and just watch hockey every day. So that was my thing and my main thing, and I did it, like, nonstop. Pretty much right until I moved out of the country after high school, I was always just watching hockey whenever I could. Best time of the year is always March, April, right when the playoffs starts, and you're just watching hockey all day, like we're about to be spoiled with in a few days here. But yeah, that's how I fell in love with it. And I want to talk about a quick story. It's a WHL one too. I had four years of season tickets. I absolutely loved going. Went with a good buddy of mine named Sean. We would always go. Eventually, started the tradition of blazing a doobie before we went in.
Nice.
Yeah. And then we were just so into it. So we'd be just talking hockey like mad all the way to the car and from the car there, sorry. And then we did these four seasons, and it's really cool to watch. I got an extra love for hockey watching the players that were, one, my age in the WHL, and two, 4 years of season tickets. You get to see guys come into the league as rookies. I got to see a team that moved from one place to another. Another unique thing, I got to see their inaugural season here.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's something else to watch, like, so many games, like 40-some-odd games, 30-some-odd games every year, and see these players grow. See Tyler Soy and all these guys go from 16-year-olds to 21-year-old guys who can really throw the body, and they're real men now. And what they can do when they aren't is really the most fun part, is always seeing the guy that they really stand out being so far ahead. So I got to watch all these guys, and I'm getting there. I got to watch all these guys, like, grow up and get better and eventually graduate, move on to other hockey. And you can see their personality with that much of it. Toward the end, I think the second last season I watched them, maybe the last season I had season tickets, hard to remember now. No, I guess it was the second year. Yeah, but it was so into it. And it was in the playoffs there against the Portland Winterhawks, just a stacked team. They had so many NHL draft picks. They had Matthew Dumba. They had Nick Patan. They had, I believe, Seth Jones. Like, my God, dude. And they had, like, nine monsters, and they would just light us up. They'd stop us every year, and every time we saw them, we're in the playoffs. So we're playing them in the playoffs, and there was just this absolute, like, so much emotion in these games, too. Another beautiful thing about the league. And, there's big line brawl goes out, like, second period or something, and there's mismatches everywhere. Joe Hicketts is, like, 5'7", and he's, like, I think 18 years old, about to be drafted to Detroit. And he's holding on to Derek Pouliot. Yeah, and who was drafted to monster guy, drafted to Pittsburgh Penguins. Pouliot just doesn't want to hit him, and Joe Hickey's looking like a toddler just trying to smack him. I'm watching it on TV because it was in Portland, and it was so funny to watch. What a mismatch. He's not going to hit him. He's doing the right thing. Much older than the guy. He's not going to do that. And someone goes by. It's Stephen Hodges, I believe. Rat Dirtbag was on Victoria. Comes over and pops him in the back of the head when the ref's trying to separate Hickey's and him. So ref goes after Stephen, and the crowd's going crazy as soon as the shot goes, and now
Pouillon's pissed. He doesn't know who hit him. He's just got this little guy swinging on him. You can watch it. It's on Hockey Fights. If you just look up Royals and Winter Hawks fight, you'll see it first, 75,000 views. But, yeah, he just feeds this absolute hammer haymaker right in the face, right in the chin of Joe. And he goes down to the ground, and it's like one of the first real knockouts I've ever seen in my life. And he was still holding on to the sweater, and it was, like, scary. And I remember thinking it was scary as shit. And Buddy picked him up. Ben Walker goes and picks him up and takes him off the ice. And like, the whole game, man, the tensions were high. The hits kept going. I think there was four more fights. Suspensions were flying the next day. And so the best part. So here's where I get to the real story here, if you got through that. So I'm turning 19 about 4 days after this. My buddy turns 19 the day after. So, like, around midnight, we're going to go for a couple of drinks at Lucky Bar downtown. So we're in line. We're about to go in. It's like 11:30 or something. And I just watched this game a couple of days ago on TV, and like, their season was over. They'd been eliminated by now, like a second year in a row, I think, by Portland. And I'm at the bar, and I guess it was like their last night together. And I didn't know, but I saw Stephen Hodges, and I was like, no, it's too small to be him. And then I saw like Brandon McGee, my favorite player, and like Logan Nell. They're all starting like pouring out. For air or something. And I was like, no way. Boys, they're all here. They're all here. All the Royals are here. And they're like, what? No way. And then they're like, who? I'm like, point. You can just see. They're all like, Hawk. They're all thick as hell, too. Like, they're all like, they're so big. Big boys, but none of them are really tall. It's hilarious, right? So then I'm going inside, and I'm fanboying. I'm like, I'm an absolute hockey nut. And like, I watch these guys. Probably not a healthy amount. And then I was like, I get my stamp. First time going into a bar with my friends, and I passed by my favorite player, McGee, on the way in, and he's just buckled, and they've all been eliminated. And I guess it's like their last night out. And he goes, Tyler, you know, he goes, no way. Where do I know you from, bro? Logan, get over here. Where do we know this kid from? And I'm like, I'm at every game. And then he's like, how come I never see you out? And I'm like, I just turned 19 tonight. And he goes, we're getting him a shot. And I'm like, yeah. And it was like walking in the front door, absolute super. The kid paints his face half the games. So, yeah, it was hilarious to happen to me, man. Absolutely nerding out. And then I remember, like, the night goes on. I had a great time. End of the night, Brandon McGee has a hearing 2 days away. And I'm like... And I know the next morning with the commissioner, and he's like, he's like absolute wobbly as hell. And I was like, dude, I got to get you a shot. You're my favorite hockey player. Let's go. And he's like, we're just buckled. It's probably last call. And we go over, and oh man, there's no way he should have gotten that shot. I don't even know what we got. Jager bombs or some garbage. Anyway, he takes it. Absolutely great. Say bye to the boys. Fucking awesome night. My buddy tried to fight one of them just because he thought it'd be funny. It was hilarious, though. Good night. Shout out Neil Wolf. And the next day I hear that he got a 12-game suspension and an extra 4 for being too buckled at the meeting. And I was like, that was me. That was my birthday. That was my part. And it was funny. They had no games left, so the next season he missed like 15 games, and I got to think about it the whole time. But yeah, that's my claim to fame. Get him the extra sassy.
Yeah, getting him the extra 4 games is your claim to fame. I love it.
Oh, love it was so cool that's for awesome. Me.
That's yeah, so just to kind of build off the knockout about 10 minutes ago in your story. March 8th, 2004. I don't think, unless I tell the event, I don't think anybody cares about that day. Todd Bertuzzi sucker punches Steve Moore in the back of the head. I was at that game. One of the most memorable games I've ever been at. My parents had Canucks season tickets holders for probably 23 years. They just stopped them last year, so perfect timing with COVID. So I've been to a fair amount of Canucks games, not all a lot, but they would sell most of the tickets because we're a boat trip away and a night in the hotel. But it seemed like every game I went to is memorable. Like, so yeah, just because I'm an Avs fan, I go to basically an Avs Canucks game every year. And that just happened to be the game in 04. I was 8 years old.
Wow.
Just celebrating in the stands an Avs 9-2 victory.
8 years old.
8 years old. And then, yeah, the Avs smoke them 9-2. But yeah, I will never forget all the blood that was getting like raked off of the ice after that event.
How long was that intermittent? Oh, no, he was a long time.
He was on the ice for probably, 35 minutes. Wow. And yeah, it was just like the ice was red. Like they were shoveling. It was so gross. Like as an 8-year-old, I don't remember it a lot, but like it's in my brain. Just another like funny Avs story as a kid. I was at a game. I think it was my first game with the Avs, and obviously I'm wearing my Avs jersey. I'm probably, I don't know, 6 years old or something. Nice. And for whatever reason, the Jumbotron person like puts me on the Jumbotron, which I mean, you don't usually do as an opposing team's jersey. Either way, I'm on the Jumbotron. My mom pulls out the old digital camera, takes a photo of the Jumbotron, and just blows it up into this big poster like, my boy's on the Jumbotron. And lo and behold, in the background, there's this dude, probably 30 years old, buckled in the warm-ups, and he's just flipping off the camera. Double birds. And we just got it on a picture of this guy just flipping off the camera with 6-year-old Mike, just rooting on the Jumbotron. And just a crazy one.
And yeah, I'm dying to see that.
Yeah, that's great. I want to see that poster too. You should find a. Can you find a picture of it? Do you have it somewhere?
I can see it from my desk.
Oh, dude, you have to post that on Instagram. We have to post that on Instagram.
It'll be on Instagram at Hoser's Panel, probably with the this episode.
That's so funny. I love it. I have an NHL story.
Hit it.
It's I attended like Mike. I'm not a fan of the Canucks. Or I guess he is a fan, but like my favorite team is the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I'll go and see like a Tampa Bay Vancouver game when they're in Vancouver, because like Vancouver is the closest team to us. Anyways, go over to Vancouver. I think it was my first or second Tampa Bay game that I'd ever been to. Stoked to be there, like just love it. Like such a hardcore fan. I know every player. So I stand there when they like go out for warm up, and they stand there when they come back in. Anyways, I'm standing there. They're coming off the ice for warm up, and this was probably 2014. And Ben Bishop is the starting goalie, and he's like one of the last guys off the ice. He comes in, and I'm standing there with like four or five like kids. Like I was probably like 15, 16. And then I'm standing there with these kids who are like maybe 10 to 12. And Bishop like walks by, and I like try and give him a high five. Doesn't give me a high five. Instead, he shoves his stick into my hand.
Oh, yes.
And I grabbed it, and I was like, oh, like, is he trying to give it to me? Or like, is he trying to give it to these like 10, 12 year olds? So I like hesitated for a second. He looks at me dead in the eye, and he goes, take my stick. Like, take it from me right now. And I was like, okay. Oh. I, like, grabbed it, and I, like, pulled it up. My seats are nowhere close to these railings that I'm standing at. Like, I booked it from my seats down to these railings. Anyways, the person who's sitting in, like, the seat right next to the railing, like, grabs the blade of the stick as I'm pulling it over, yanks it from my hand, and goes, I paid for these seats. This is my stick.
No.
Get your own.
No.
Yeah. And it was this like massive Italian man with like this little like probably 3-year-old daughter sitting there, and he's like, this is my daughter's stick. I paid for these seats. And he like puts it in the hands of this little girl, and I'm just sitting there like, what just happened? Like I just had this stick. Yeah. Anyways, to this day I'm like choked at this Italian man. I saw him in like the street after, because you like walk out, everybody walks out the same way basically. And I like went up to him. I was like, hey, like take good care of that stick. Trying to be petty, but like without being petty. Anyways, I'm still bummed out about it.
So Ben Bishop, if you're listening to this podcast, Taylor would like a stick.
I would love a stick. Sign it, send it my way. That would be great. I never got one. You gave me one and somebody robbed it from me. So.
I'm just going to throw in a couple other memorable games I was at just because I was season ticket holders.
Yeah,
the 2011 Stanley Cup run by the Canucks was probably some of the craziest games I've been at. The game 5 against the Sharks to go to the Stanley Cup finals, where Bieksa scores off the stanchion. The loudest I've ever been in a building for.
Yeah, no doubt.
Either Vancouver building, the Pepsi Center in Colorado. It doesn't matter. That was the loudest. It was like partying up and down the streets. Like, oh, it was such a cool environment. And
that
then
was to go to the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, to go to to clinch the Stanley Cup final. It was like the biggest stampede to the stores to try and get the Canucks like clinching hats. And like looking back on them now, they're atrocious hats. But I mean, everybody, you just had to buy them.
Yeah.
And then on the complete polar opposite, I was at game 5 and game 7 against the Bruins, where obviously the famous riots happened. And yeah,
and
what a time.
What a time.
At the time, I was a bit of a Bruins fan. Shockingly enough, once the Bruins won, I became less of a fan because I was cheering for the Canucks. but we stayed to watch the Bruins Cup celebration, and it was awesome. Like, I mean, I just loved seeing the cup being handed out, because I don't know if I'll ever do that again.
Yeah, totally.
But it was probably about an hour after the final horn that we actually walked out of the arena, and obviously shit had kind of hit the fan. And as soon as we walk out of the building, there's like a lower exit, and there's roads like right above it for some of the entrances on the Canucks arena. And a dude's just taking a piss off the upper balcony, straight onto the lower level.
Incredible.
Like what God. The hell? And then,
gorgeous.
Yeah, I was 15 or 16 at the time. So we just basically went back to the hotel room and watched everything unfold on the news.
Yeah.
You mean no rioting or looting for you and your dad, Mike?
No, unfortunately. Unfortunately,
a couple Gucci bags. And my dad got a TV. That's all he can carry. But
yeah,
I kicked in one car window, but that was about it. Yeah. It was just on the way.
We're gonna have Hoser's memes. Gonna have like the. We're gonna put Mike's face on that guy in front of the burning car.
yeah, like standing on top of the burning car with like a Molotov cocktail ready to blow. Yeah. Oh, I didn't get much. I went right back to the hotel. I swear.
Yeah, I swear. This is being recorded. I did nothing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh.
So quickly, boys, I just wanted to touch on, I kind of shared, like, I played hockey, obviously. Currently, I'm coaching like a minor hockey team. So I'm coaching, a U15 team here in Victoria, just an assistant coach. But man, the last few years I've kind of followed this like group of kids up. And they're, it's so great to watch like kids. And obviously I was at that point at one part of my life. But like just bond over the love of hockey, and be able like for myself to go out there and like, I don't know much about hockey. I kind of know what I was taught growing up. And as a goalie, like it's a lot different than like what players are taught, but what I can kind of share with these kids is so, like awesome for me. Like I really am just like any way that I can help kind of give back to the hockey community is so rewarding. And yeah, anyways, I just wanted to touch on that. And big shout out to the Victoria Admirals U15 T2 team if they're listening. Unfortunately, we didn't get to play games this year because of COVID, but if we did, we would have done some damage, maybe over in tournaments or in league play this year. But yeah, hopefully they're listening. And yeah, big shout out to them.
Yeah, definitely more medals than the World Junior Canadian teams all time. I think I would have seen at least 20 goals from that team. They're nuts.
Yeah.
I was gonna say games or not. This is when you got to keep that grind going, keep your game going. If you're working and you're young and you're working at being a hockey player, man, like we aren't losing to U.S. anymore. It's bullshit.
Yeah, you boys are the future.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's a huge like piece. Thanks for touching on that. Like, they're not playing games in every practice. We practice twice a week, sometimes three times a week, and they come to the rink, big smile on the face, ready to hit the ice and do as much as they can on the ice with all these COVID restrictions and stuff. So it's awesome to watch and awesome to be a part of. So I just wanted to share that quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
When they're back in the game, it's gonna when they finally get back to the real competition, it's gonna be so worth the wait. So yeah, just keep sticking out for sure. Stick at it.
I think I got one last story. Back in my playing days, back when, like I said before, I was a goalie. I was a pretty good goalie until I stopped being goalie. But when I was 9 years old, I competed in this like spring all-star tournament, best of the best teams from like Spokane, Denver, Calgary, all across Canada, a couple places in the States all came together for a tournament. And I just like happened to go back and the tournaments are all online, so I can see like the players that I played against. Just gonna list off a couple names here. I played against Jake Virtanen, obviously the Canucks, Hayden Fleury of the Canes, Ryan Gropp, who was the captain of Seattle Thunderbirds and then was a second rounder to the Rangers a couple years ago, and then Victoria's favorite, Joe Hickets.
Yeah. Yo.
Fun fact about Joe, he wore 99 that tournament. What a star.
Jumbo yeah. Joe Jr.
Showtime.
And then a couple other players I didn't directly play against, but they were in the same like tournament and everything like that. Matt Barzal, stud. We talked about him already.
Oh, jeepers.
Kyler Yamamoto of the Oilers. Obviously, he's nuts too.
Yeah.
And Jansen Harkins, who I think he's coming up to Winnipeg's awesome. Winnipeg system. He led the tournament with like 18 points in three games.
Wow. Just,
like, he led it by a mile.
That's nuts.
But Matt Barzal.
What age group is this?
So that's the 96s in 2005. So we were nine.
Wow. Damn. Nuts.
But Matt Barzal, just so I'm not being claimed as this a false story, Matt Barzal is a 97. He played with the 96s and the 97s.
Right. Yeah. He played a year up.
He played
year,
a
right?
year up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nuts.
But yeah, it's crazy to look back and the best players in that tournament are now NHLers, and now I'm doing a podcast with 50 viewers, but basically
right.
we're the same.
Yeah, you're the exact same. You get paid 7 sheets a year to make this podcast, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, 7 $1 bills.
Yeah, exactly.
And like we're on pace. We're on pace for about 7 sheets, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give us a few years.
Should we break into the one big story?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so, me and Taylor played hockey our entire lives. I think I've known him since we were about 7 or 8-ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So that's about, 15 years? No.
God, has it really been 15 years? That's so 16, long.
16 or 17 years.
That's nuts.
And then I've known Tyler for about, 8 years now?
8 now, yeah.
Eight years.
P-ball hawk, bud.
Yeah, so, We've known each other for a fair amount of time, but the one big thing that brought us all together is us three and another buddy. We all went to the NHL draft in 2019 in Vancouver. Just an absolute incredible event.
Riot.
It was my second draft I've been to. I've been to the 2016 draft in Buffalo. I went to that one as well, but this one with buddies was incredible.
It was so fun.
The first story that comes to mind, me and Tyler get there. We're on like the ferry before you two. And we're walking. We're like, oh, like we'll get to our hotel at some point, but like, let's go find the hotel where all the draftees are staying at. Cause when I was at the draft in 2016 in Buffalo, that was the thing. Like I knew exactly where all the players were. They walk around with like no security. You can go up and get autographs and talk to them and everything like that. So we're like, we don't need to check into our hotel right now. Let's go find their hotel.
Yeah.
Try and stock it out, get a couple autographs. It's like 2 days, 3 days before the draft. So they're all just arriving as well. And we walk into the first hotel and it's like, because I think I was searching on Twitter, like, oh, I wonder if anybody knows where, or like the big hotels in Vancouver that teams usually stay at. And we get to the first one and there's the lobby is just barren. Like there's nobody in there. We're like, this doesn't seem right. Like maybe we'll just keep walking around. It's like this poshy, like old person hotel. People are just staring at us. We're wearing we're in all hockey gear. Like, where's the guys at? And then we walk out. We're like, hey, well, let's go try number two. We walk into that one. Same thing. Like it's just a big brown building. There's nothing on the inside. Nobody in the inside. We're like, okay, let's just go to our hotel. Like, whatever.
It was so funny. We're walking like from hotel to hotel and like Potter's like straight detectiving this shit. He's showing me well, he posted on his Instagram, like Kirby Doc's in this hotel. That looks like the wall. Right. He's like, we were gone. Like, I thought he had, I was like, yeah, I trust him. I'm pretty sure he knows where we're going. And
photo,
so we went to the first,
walls.
Went to the, I'm pretty sure one of them were like, yeah, that looks just like the sound of that building. He had me convinced, so we were walking back to the hotel. You keep going. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, we were like, okay, let's just cut our losses. Let's just go to our hotel. We'll figure it out later. We'll wait for Taylor and our buddy Liam to show up. And then, like, we finally get to our hotel, and we're walking in, and there's draft signs everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like, on the huge
block.
Windows, the blocks, the front doors. And we're like, okay, well, I mean, this
this
is kind of cool.
It.
But, like, this can't be theirs as well. Like, it's just, we just happened to get it through, like, a good work deal. And it was like,
nice place, too,
yeah,
the wall.
We walk in and it's just like draft stuff galore. We look into the door. like huge glass windows, and it's like the cafeteria, and we see like head coaches and stuff like that. We haven't even walked into the building yet. We're like, okay, we're home.
Yeah, like this is where they're all gonna be. It's great.
Oh yeah, so funny too. Like I'm not the best at the younger guys or the guys coming up, but I like these are two of my favorite guys to talk hockey with because they know all that shit. They're all over it. And yeah. And even NHL players, I thought you were better at spotting than me, but it was funny, especially for me to be in there, and I'm trying not to nerd out, and we're finally seeing everybody all at once. And yeah, these guys are like under their breath right beside me, like, oh God, Lassie Thompson, oh, that's Shane Doan, oh my, look at this. Like all these people yeah. are kind of walking everywhere, yeah, and like you don't want to freak out, but it's kind of surreal, especially all at once.
Definitely. Boys, I just remembered one of the funniest parts of that whole trip.
Please.
We kind of touched on like the whole story to like screen it before like telling it on the pod, but we did not cover this, and I totally forgot until right now. But the first day, like as soon as Liam and I got there, I'm pretty sure like we dropped our stuff in the room, and then we were gonna like just wander, right? We were gonna go for a bite to eat or like do something, and we're like, oh, like there's a restaurant like at the top of this hotel. Like, let's go check it out.
Yeah, I was hoping. I was waiting for this. Here we go.
We hop in the elevator, and we go all the way to the top floor.
No.
Okay, great.
We got tipped off, didn't we?
Yeah, can I interject?
Oh,
we were Yeah, we were in the lobby, and this guy who was, like, I don't know, probably late 20s.
We're buzzing about hockey, and he hears us, and he just starts like cutting in. Like, what do you say?
He's like, oh yeah, like all these guys are on like the 30th floor. Like, just you guys just go up there. Like, there's food and everything. Like, you can just head on up there.
Yeah, just blend in, just kind of nice.
Blend in, yeah.
You know, blend in. We're like, oh, okay. I think we had jerseys. I probably had a fucking jersey on.
Biggest fanboys around. We looked so funny. Anyways, we get in the elevator. We get up to the 30th floor. Doors open. We all four of us take two steps out, look around. There's absolutely nobody in this like lounge dining room, like cocktail hour place. There's like a bunch of tables set up, but
there's like one bartender. There's like a nice, it's a beautiful view. There's like people on the edge of the room, but like no one in the middle either. And like they're all really nicely dressed. So we all kind of look in, catch a couple nasty dagger looks, and we're like, oh yeah. Like, I think me and Tay, like me and two of us, like, yeah, well no one's here. Let's get out of here. And then Mike goes, yeah, do you not see Mike Babcock right over there in the corner of the room? And I go, no way, Mike Babcock. And Ty turns around and like peeks back in, and then right away got some more daggers and was like, yeah, let's get out of here. But but I got the look. I saw him in the room. It wasn't like he didn't make it up. But yeah, that was so funny.
It was like if you picture like looking down a hotel hallway that's just like it just looks like it goes on forever. Picture that like six times wider, and there's maybe 12 or so like stand around round tables, and there's two guys in the entire place, and four guys walk off the elevator.
one of them's Babs having like a double gin and soda.
Yeah, they're like, who the so fuck funny. Are these guys? Like, yeah, quickly get right.
He
back
looks
in.
He looks older in person, man. He looked older in person. I gotta say,
but the TV takes off 10 years. I thought
10 years, 10 pounds, all of it.
Is it 10 pounds? Yeah, that's
it. Puts on 10 pounds. Yeah. But yeah, and then
that was a good one. What else happened?
We could also post. I mean, there's a
couple good picks.
Obviously, the night before the draft, we go out, we have a good time. Oh, we got buckled, to say the least.
Buckled. Yeah,
we are walking back from a brewery. I think it was right. Brewery/ bar. And,
yeah, craft brewery
in Yale Town.
In Yale Town, and we're walking by, and we hit like a 7-Eleven or a Max or whatever it is. And we walk in, everybody gets a couple of snacks, and there's this poster that's like, hey, put your face in here for like a slushie. Like, there's no like free promo. It's just like, get a picture with it. Like, you see it all the time at hockey games with like, oh, they got the player with the head cut out. This was just like a tie-dye cardboard thing that said, hey, I have a 7-Eleven slushie.
Nice.
And we take the drunkest photos in front of them.
Yeah, it was great.
And those will live on forever.
Dude, there were some good photos. The hotel we were at was so nice, and people kept like parking the nice show cars, got valeted out front. There was some like filthy Maserati, and my ratchet ass is coming out like on our way to dinner, like smoking a doobie, and I was like, I took a picture down in the front of it, and then, oh man, okay, we didn't even talk about the Stanley Cup. So no. The Stanley Cup's supposed to be there. And, like, we kept being like, ah, we'll see it later. We'll see it later. We went, like, toward the end. Like, it wasn't too late, but, like, the last
day.
It was, like,
sixth round of the second day. Like, okay, round six total. Fifth round of the second day. It was pretty late, but, I mean, still, there was a round and a half to
there.
Go.
We thought that it'd still be there. And it's not there, but there's, like, still this big, like, lineup thing. Like, there's a big rope line, and there's, like, no one there. And there's still, like a stage for, like, that little platform with the nice NHL logo thing on it, and I was like, yeah, boys, just take my picture over there, pretend I was with it, because I fucking missed it. And so we go over, took my picture, and photoshopped it in. They all came out beautiful. What a trip,
man,
though.
We are gonna post all these pictures, right?
Yeah we have to. We got tons of good ones.
And then the most iconic photo of the day, or of the entire trip, I think it was after day one. So in day one they just do round one, day two is round 2 to 7. We're walking back to our hotel, and it's a probably 10, 15-minute walk or so from what I remember. And we're just waiting for the stoplight to cross the road. And coming from our left, we got Kyle Dubas, Sheriff Shanny, Brendan Shanahan, and, like, probably two of their scouts or something like that. And we're like, we gotta get a photo with Brendan Shanahan. So us three get in a picture on, like, the weirdest intersection. There's a bus behind us. I have the photo open on my phone to look at it.
It was so quick, and, like, I'm surprised they even said yeah.
And we take the photo, and we look at the photo when we get back in the hotel. Brendan Shanahan has the most awkward, like, we're taking him hostage with a gun to the back of his spine.
It literally looks
spine.
Like there's a gun on him.
He is so uncomfortable, and it's just an iconic photo.
Incredible.
Yeah, that was so good, man. So good.
And then kind of on the opposite spectrum of that, we're walking out after day two. Just take the weirdest upper deck exit.
We're looking for something your dad won or something.
Right, yeah. We had to go. Yeah, it was the last year that my parents were season ticket holders, and we were trying to find some Canucks desk or something like that. It's like their administration office inside the building, but the doors aren't inside the building. They're on the outside. So we take the weirdest exit out on, like, a high-rise upper deck, and we just so happen to walk by Joe Sakic, my, like, childhood idol, GM
pop
of the Avs.
The doors.
Yeah,
he's
pop
right
open
there.
The doors, and I'm just like, I screamed Joe Sakic.
And there's nobody else there. It's nobody. Like you could have screamed louder, like, no one would have heard it. There's no one there but him.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And I was just like, man, I need a photo with you. Like, this would be like the moment of my life.
Didn't you say autograph when you said no and then say photo? Or was
I might
say...
have. I kind of blanked. My memory is
kind of
shot.
Yeah, dude, I honestly can't really remember, but I thought, because I remember you'd be like, photo? And he's like, yeah, sure. And then I remember, dude, you gave me your phone. And I was like, fucking, I was shitting my pants trying to fuck up this photo.
Yeah, because he was like, at first, he was like, no, like, we got to catch a plane. And I was like, I'll walk with you. Like, let's just take a shot while we're walking. just get a photo. And he's like, okay, well, we'll just take a quick photo. I was like, great. And I'm fumble fucking my phone, trying to give it to a buddy to take a picture, and it turned out great. And he's opposite of Sheriff Shanny. He's smiling. It's classic Joe Sakic.
And I gotta admit, like, what a feeling. Like, I've known Mike 8 years now, and massive fan of Colorado. Like, one of the biggest hockey fans I know. I was buzzing walking away from that. Like, that was pretty great. Like, it shook you. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
man. You know what? Go ahead.
My highlight of the draft too, to see Mike take a picture.
It was so cool.
I was
it was
so
like
happy for
it. It was like I was part of a make a wish. It was so cool.
Yeah.
If I'm really honest, but I was gonna say, one of the coolest things about, like, I don't know, I guess the draft would be a lot different now, virtual and all that. But if it ever gets back to normal, man, it was so special to go. With guys who loved hockey, and just like, and you know what, when we were talking about starting this pod, the first thing I thought about was being over at the draft with you guys, and how it was like the best hockey talk I'd had in years, and how we could go forever. We all had a different piece, and it came together really nicely. It made me think about it, but it was really cool to walk around and get all those autographs. I gotta say, like, as a hockey fan, and to kind of like put so much of my life into it. It's really, really cool and rewarding. It's insane and nerdy to say that, but to go there and to have you guys point out Brodeur right in front of us, and we got sweet tickets for that first day.
Yeah,
we were so close down. We had a buddy from Letterkenny was like walking right by us. I was super uncool about yelling his name, but but I mean, it was so cool. We were right by even our security guys. Like, oh, you're right by the families. You're in a cool spot.
Yeah, man, wicked time. If anyone can ever go, yeah. Like, it was amazing. I got tons of autographs. Brady Tkachuk, Keith Tkachuk. Had to go down to the draft floor and yell at Keith. I was like, yeah, think I could do it? At the end of the seventh, yeah, I'll tell you, end of the seventh round. St. Louis is the last pick because they just won the cup, eh? Yeah. So they were the last pick, and he was, of course, at their desk, and I know what was gonna happen, but as soon as the draft is over, they announce it, and everybody stands up like at once, and there's kind of this buzz of like everyone saying goodbye and walking over and walking out. Everyone's kind of up at once, and it's a big shit show, and everybody. I keep being like, oh, should I go down there? I can see him. He's kind of closest to where we are, but we're way the hell up on the wall for the second day. And then I'm like, I'm hyping myself up. Like, I'm going to go. I can do this, whatever. So I run down there and sprint down. I think as soon as they announced that it was over, and that's when I see everybody stand up. I'm like, oh, shit, like, he's going to be gone. I run down there, and, yeah, I was so embarrassing, dude. Like, lean over. I think I got him to sign a business card. Like, I didn't even have anything. But I was like, Keith, and I'd already got his sons who just got drafted or who just was hoping I go to Ottawa. And he came over. He turned around with a big smile. Like, who is it? And he saw me yelling at him, and he just smile went right away. And I like held up the marker, and he walked over and signed it. But good sport about it. And like, yeah, I said, for a nerd fan like me, that was a Field of Dreams moment.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about like walking through the entire arena an hour before the draft started and just meeting all of the prospects. Like,
we met Kirby Doc.
Like, Doc, Byram, Newhook, Matt Boldy. Yep. We saw Alexei Lafreniere. He was there because he's the first pick the following year.
He just walks through, and there's just like 30, like, I don't know, not 30, but like 20 people, 15 people around him. Like, this buzz slowly gets to him, and you're like, I'm not getting in there. And he's not even stopping for any man. It was cool star power seeing him walk through a room in Vancouver.
Yeah, we asked him for an autograph, and he's like, oh, sorry, I got a meeting. I was like, okay, no worries.
Yep, we get it, man. It's cool. Yeah. Love you. Big fan.
big fans. Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome trip.
It was special, man. I hope we can do something like that sooner, at least a live game. It'd be dope.
The next draft will be there.
Yeah.
Record live pods.
Hoser's panel, yeah. We'll be up there in the media section.
Yeah, in the media section, not the stands.
Wherever we go. Nice seats, oh, man, actually might be in Seattle soon, you know.
Oh, hey,
they might get one.
Let's be fun. Go.
Let's do it. We can explore Seattle, the nightlife of Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get the tower chest cam GoPro for the night. We'll give you guys all the content.
Yeah, we'll start posting on YouTube.
Get one of those cameras that records like 360 that you put like 10 feet above you, like strapped onto your back, and it just like records the entire thing over your body.
Yeah,
yeah. Nice, you watch it back the next day, like, oh, that was Brendan Shanahan. Yeah. Oh, that was Gary Bettman having a shot with me. I don't even remember that. Anyways, a quick shout out to Tim Hortons for those tickets.
Yeah.
That's who hooked us up.
Yeah. Ty was saying we sat like basically in line with all the families, all the players. It was unreal. And my family owns a few Tim Hortons franchise, so we got connections there. I like reached out to see if they had any, because I knew we were going, and wanted to see if I could treat the boys to something special. And they hooked us up with like, we were like, what, like 10 rows back from the stage, pretty much.
Some of that, something, yeah. Pretty 10, close.
15. Oh, and yeah, like just the people we saw, man, that one day, I remember Shane Doan goes right in, yeah, that's what it was. Shane Doan goes right in front of us and talks to some dudes like two rows ahead of us, like so damn close. And he's like, nice suit. And like, I'm looking at him like, I think this is like me half the weekend. I'm like, I think I know this guy. And then Mike beside me, as soon as he turns around, Mike just goes, oh, just man rocket Shane Doan. And I was like, oh, it's Shane Doan. Like, and but yeah, buddy, just so fresh. Holy shit. It looked like he was still playing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was sweet. Yo, should we... So, we're back next Monday, most likely?
Most likely next Monday. If the first couple of days of the NHL season are go crazy, we might just chuck in a short, you know, Friday pod. Like, here's what's going on the last 2 days, because NHL has been nuts. But
yeah,
definitely expect at least... We usually record like we are right now, Monday evening, and then it gets uploaded like late Monday night. And then... Yeah. I mean, you can listen to it Tuesday morning or whenever you get it.
This year, I definitely want to be like on top of the NHL and what's going on, just because of the rivalries and all that going on. Because
there's
going to be so many storylines every week and every day, honestly, especially with teams playing a game every like second day. There's going to be nonstop hockey. So we got to stay on top of all these storylines, boys.
Yeah, the rivalries are just going to get crazier and crazier this year.
Yeah,
just for some perspective here, we got
the first day, we got the Canucks playing the Oilers, we got the Blues playing the Avs, we got the Pens playing the Flyers, the Canadiens playing the Leafs. The next day, you got – that's just a couple. The next day, you got the Flames and the Jets. You got Canucks, Oilers again, Islanders, Rangers, any other hot ones. Ducks, Golden Knights going to kill them, but still. I know, there's literally like eight games on that day, eight or ten. I think I'm seeing 10 games.
It's going to be great.
So, I mean, like, it's going to be nonstop, and, yeah, we might come at you with two a week if we're feeling hot.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to stretch it too thin that we put out two mediocre episodes compared to one – solid episode, at least we True. Think solid. But yeah, I mean, if it requires more talking, then we'll get back on here. Not a problem.
I think it'll be the controversial ones. Like, I'm thinking the first first Wilson suspension, you know, first nice Wilson sussy. We'll have to get on and just discuss. Chara probably just kill someone too. Like, I don't know. There's gonna be some drama for sure. Can't wait.
Did you guys see the Ryan Reeves like cameo to the guy trying to make it for Tom Wilson?
No.
So this guy, big Caps fan. I can't remember what his name is on Twitter, but he sends like, you know, the cameo where you can send a request like celebrities and they'll be like, oh, say happy birthday to my brother Rob or whatever, you know?
Right.
This guy sends one to Ryan Reeves and he's like, hey, I got a buddy named Tom. He's just starting his season and it'd be awesome if you told him how great of a player he was. And, you know, he's got pretty good clothing style as well, so maybe you could just like touch on that a little bit. That would be awesome. And Ryan Reeves comes back and he's like, oh, I looked you up, like, don't think I did my research, and I'm pretty sure since you're a huge Caps fan and this guy's name is Tom, I'm pretty sure I know which guy you're talking about. So no, I will not say that Tom is a good player and I don't want Tom to have a good season. So actually I'll tell him he's a good player because he's a good player, but I'm never going to tell him he dresses well. And I'm not gonna wish him a good season, but
that's so funny.
If I'm the king of this. If you think that you're gonna beat me with this antic, no, you got to do better than this. It was so funny.
I'm on his cameo right now, and he's got pep talk, he's got birthday celebration, he's got birthday celebration, he's got New Year, and then he's got roast. So I bet the roast is the one. That's so funny.
It was an all-timer to listen to.
Oh, I'm gonna play it after. That's great.
But yeah, that's
Is that about wrap her up?
That might about do her.
I think that's pretty close to giving her a full episode. I think we got a couple things coming out this week. We might little dabble out a new logo.
Yeah, so
if you're not following our Instagram at Hosers Panel, you can take a look. We might be posting that, see how it looks. But yeah, other than that,
Definitely. Sorry, quickly, if you are following us on Instagram and you have like an opinion about the logo when we post it, or you have any suggestions you want to make about the pod or anything like that, like, let us know. We're always open to feedback. We want to hear from you guys. Obviously, we're doing this for ourselves to kind of have a conversation with the boys, but we want to hear from you. We want to know what you guys think. So give us a follow, rate us on wherever you listen to your podcasts. Maybe let us know how you think we're doing over Instagram or whatever.
And yeah, another thing, we're currently releasing our top 10 players as a build up to the NHL season. Obviously, we're 3 days away or 2 days away now, so we just released our number 3 player. So number 2 will be tomorrow, and then number 1's the morning of the start of the NHL season. So
yeah, boys,
feel free to us know how bad our picks were, and we'll be releasing the top 10 as well as our personal top 10s, what basically built the overall top 10. We'll be releasing that all Wednesday afternoon before Pittsburgh starts the season off.
Right on.
Hell yeah. So a bit of a slower episode this week, you guys, but if you did make it through and you are listening every week, we really, really appreciate you, and we look forward to putting out more. The season's just about to get started. It's going to be a wild one. And yeah, the host just say thanks.
Yeah, if you did get this far, that is... It means a lot to us. That's super awesome. If you enjoyed it, feel free to share it with even one friend. It just continues the growing and continues the conversation. And yeah, we're building something nice, and I'm looking forward to keeping it going. Definitely, we'll be here. So
yeah, definitely love talking to you guys every week, and looking forward to getting this out for the listeners this week.
Yeah, I think we're gonna hop off for now, but we got a hot draft for me doing we're done here. So I think I'm gonna want to post those picks, post the team picks after.
Yeah. get our teams out there.
Big fantasy draft coming.
Show everybody love what it. We got working with.
And then next year maybe we got a Hosers panel pod draft coming.
Oh, yeah, it'd be fantasy. So dope.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
All right, so that does it for us. Thank you so much for listening again. We'll be back, if not later this week, we'll be back next week with another episode of Hosers Panel. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, fellas. Go Bolts.